Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Here's what we have in store for you on this June 5th, 2013 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, your Wi-Fi is watching you. Plus, the EPA is joining the Gestapo tactics of the IRS. Then, Bilderberg exposed, evolution by stealth. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline, lobbying scandal engulfs Bilderberg. Now you're saying, how can this thing get even more sinister than what it is? You can see the kind of yard ornaments they got out up there, but this is what they have. LIBOR, which is short for the London Interbank Offering Rate, is an average interest rate calculated through submissions of interest rates by major banks in London. In order to rake in obscene profits from the system, banksters inflated and deflated interest rates to give the false impression that they were credit worthy. Now, you see this LIBOR system has a mountainous system of debt derivatives, 350 trillion. That's about half the value of the toxic assets. And we'll move on to the next paragraph. LIBOR, and to a lesser extent, the British House of Lords scandal, have eroded what little remains of public confidence in politicians, bankers, and heads of corporations. Now, for those who aren't familiar, the Bilderberg Conference is where many world leaders, people, business, finance, anything, military people get together, and they concoct, you know, what they think should happen for the next 365 days. Even plus, we see people like international war criminals such as Henry Kissinger. That's not my opinion that he's a war criminal. He actually has a international warrant for his arrest. People like General Petraeus, who said he wants to spy on you through your dishwasher, as well as these very unsavory characters of the finance world, not just people like LIBOR, but HSBC, who fund Al-Qaeda. And remember, LIBOR is what Gerald Celente called one of the greatest scandals of the 21st century, not the greatest financial scandal, just one of the biggest scandals, period, because they manipulate things such as your credit ratings and so forth. So when you have your interest rate, should I say, on things such as credit cards, car loans, student loans, all these things are being manipulated by LIBOR, and as well as many other people. They're not the only ones, but they're one of the major people there at Bilderberg this year. And you can see it right there on your screen, the Infowars.com/B, B as in Bilderberg. And you can see all the latest updates on Bilderberg. And speaking of the updates, we have some YouTube videos from Alex Jones. And it's not just the military people and the financial people. You can also see that the media is complicit in this Bilderberg story as Alex confronts the BBC.
What bothers me is there have been indictments before and criminal investigations of insider trading, of all sorts of impropriety going on. Massive illegal lobbying has gone on in Bilderberg for weapons deals, energy companies, you name it. And you'll not just have the 140 attendees or so, you'll have 30 to 50 or even more secret attendees. That's why they cover their faces up. Government ministers, regulators, heads of the EU, antitrust, meeting with Google, meeting with Microsoft, meeting with individual men that are worth $50, $60, $70 billion. And that's why you've got the police from four different constabularies here just minutes ago saying we need to move off and, you know, don't even shoot video here, and that we're not even allowed to be here, you know, 20 feet off the sidewalk, because they're afraid of what will be done to them and their careers if they don't properly curtsy to the global organized mafia that's meeting 500 to 600 yards away with an iron fence paid for by taxpayers. So here we are, British citizens, American citizens, others. We all have a stake in knowing what's happening here, because leaders from my government, leaders from the UK, they're all in there deciding all sorts of deals, like not paying taxes. Most of the men and women in there pay almost zero tax because they've written the tax laws. They have influenced them. So somebody like myself is middle class. I pay 40% federal tax, over 65% total taxes. Most of these guys, they've had mainstream news articles, pay less than 10% tax of any form. And that's what's going on, is tax avoidance meetings with federal regulators of the EU, the UK, and the United States. And it is outrageous that this is happening.
But what are these conspiracy theories? It's just crazy conspiracy theories.
you're right, I'm a conspiracy theorist, that there's a major scandal in the UK right now with three members of parliament resigning over illegal lobbying and allegations of that. And you're right, there's no Bilderberg meeting. I mean, they've said for 50 years this doesn't exist. They said for 30-plus years when reporters were exposing in the U.S., it didn't exist. I have been there with the Secret Service aiming MP5 machine guns at me to try to scare me on video. And the New York Times says it doesn't exist when I have high-def footage. Okay, with Marines on the roof with rocket launchers and anti-aircraft missiles in case somebody tries to fly a plane into it. They've probably got anti-aircraft missiles in there right now. They've got a no-fly zone over this deal. Okay, well, even if it is just wealthy people playing golf, having a nice meal, why is there a taxpayer-paid-for iron fence up there? Why are there police here? No, we have the minutes of Bilderberg out of the National Archives given to myself and others, the leaks. We have the indictments back in the 70s. We have the new WikiLeaks documents.
But Henry Kissinger says, the illegal we do immediately. The unconstitutional takes longer.
It's more of a Schwarzenegger-type accent, but that's what's going on. We know. It's not our opinion. And the idea that it's a conspiracy theory that royalty and the heads of state and robber barons meet in secret to scheme, the idea that that doesn't exist is a complete and total fraud.
Do these people meet together all the time? They just have to be missing one with the case.
Here's the.
Do
you know why we know? Do you know why we? You know where they're meeting and how? Until about a decade ago, they wouldn't release the list. They wouldn't talk about their so-called agenda because people said it didn't exist. In the United States, they still say this doesn't even exist. Now it's like, Alex, you've proven it exists. Aren't you discredited? You know, this is all a conspiracy theory. We know that there are powerful people who are going to be attending this, like Queen Beatrix and her son and others, whose wealth is a state secret. And it's come out and been leaked that a lot of that is taxpayer funded. You've got people that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars who want more taxpayer money and expect all the police to come out here and serve them on a silver platter while EU, UK and American taxpayers bail them out for trillions of dollars from the derivatives banking scandal. I got documents out of Bilderberg 2006 where they were openly planning to flood the U.S. housing market to create a crisis and then demand banker bailouts. This is a global mafia. Doesn't mean everybody there is a criminal, but undoubtedly this is one of the most important globalist secretive meetings ever. Now it's been exposed, and that's what's important. You know what? I have been here alone covering this with no mainstream media. And so, first I was crazy it didn't exist. Now it exists, but I'm crazy to cover it. And so, if I'm crazy, I'm crazy like a fox. Is that it? We're crazy!
Doesn't exist.
Hey, I want to say something else. I want to say something else for the viewers out there. I want you all to get this. If you had 125 Hollywood stars meeting in secret in there, you would have helicopters flying all around. But you've got world leaders meeting in secret. I mean, they cover Davos. They cover G20. This is basically a secret Davos G20 meeting. And I'm crazy. Now, notice the BBC turned off, and here come the cops.
Yeah, thank you.
What was that, sir? Go ahead. Go ahead and tell me. Come on, watch it.
Had you interview with BBC?
Yes, we did. Okay, and then where would you like us to move?
Down the road.
Down the road to where?
Anywhere that's not covered by the restrictions.
Well, can you tell us what's covered by the restrictions? Come on in here, Watson.
Certainly, this side of the road and this grass area here.
And then we're supposed to be... When are we supposed to be let into the free speech zone?
Tomorrow morning, I think it's about 8 o'clock.
And how close does it come to the road so we can take photos of the gangsters?
See that fence in there? That's where you're going to hit the edge of your space.
Is that the edge of the road?
We need to speak to the protest liaison officer that's been dealing with
it. Sure. Where is the protest liaison officer?
I'll get him to meet you down there.
What is your name, sir?
Darren Wood.
Can I shake your hand?
Yeah.
Darren, nice to meet you. Hey.
Nice to meet you.
I just want to give you the news because I actually read it in the Financial Times. In about 5 years, your whole pension's gone. No amount of tax raises will get it. You've all been robbed by these people.
Okay.
Remember, they've stolen all your money on purpose to impoverish you. So just remember that.
Thanks, Travis.
Just remember. All right. Just remember.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
You bet. Enjoy it.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. There you go. Folks, the police are here saying, don't videotape this because they have no power. The Bilderberg Group has no power.
Yeah, I know.
They have no power. They've already taken all the public funds in the U.S.
Everyone needs to just move back.
It's like, hey, you said this didn't exist.
And if it's just a political meeting, well, then why all this?
Who are you with?
Who's with me?
Oh, okay.
He's just documenting everything. But anyways, introduce yourself, Leanne.
Hello.
Hi.
Leanne McAdoo.
Hi.
It's a pleasure.
Hi. No, just while you're filming,
yes.
I won't speak. You'll have to do that. That's fine.
It's all right. You can go get some other stuff.
Okay.
Just keep live streaming over there.
She won't speak while I'm filming. But I just watched the BBC lady purposely go up to the...
She said she was provoking
me. She said she was provoking him, but excuse me, she was going up to some of the more sketchy-looking protesters. Oh, can I ask you a question? Tell me about the tarot reading you got today. Like, what does your psychic say? I mean, they're totally trying to make this a huge joke.
But here's the thing. The BBC uncovered documents in 1955 about Bilderberg planning a single currency. The BBC that got the documents, she doesn't even know about it. She's calling it a conspiracy theory, and that's, they got the documents saying they planned the euro 40, 50 years before it came into effect.
He's telling her important things, and she's not even holding the microphone to him. This is how the media works.
And you can see in those clips there, the BBC lady, she said, hey, I'm not going to do this interview if you film me doing this interview. And, you know, it was a big deal because Alex was talking about this on the radio show earlier today. He said, hey, I'll come out here and meet with you. People at BBC, they contacted him. He said, hey, I'll come out there and meet with you. Then they get there. They ask him all these silly questions. Isn't this, you know, aren't you a conspiracy theorist? Aren't you crazy? Aren't these guys just here to play golf and, you know, look at weird statues and stuff? And Alex said, man, they've been doing this for decades now. They get together and they meet. And just as he pointed out in those videos, you know, if these were, you know, 100 plus athletes or 100 plus movie stars or musicians, you know, you'd have helicopters and limousines and, you know, paparazzi everywhere. But when people get together to discuss real things such as world policy, the BBC shows up and says that you're crazy for having interest in such things. So I guess that's just the situation. Well, I can't blame them over there in the BBC. They do the same thing here in this country. So I can't fault them for that. Now we'll move on to our next article, still Bilderberg related. Watford mayor makes Cameron, takes Cameron to task over Bilderberg security costs. The mayor of Watford presented Prime Minister David Cameron with a letter this week criticizing the government for passing a bill for Bilderberg security on the Hertfordshire taxpayers. I am so very concerned about the additional strain it will put on the Hertz police budget that has already been set for the year ahead. And she realizes, she says in this article, that there is a number of factors that contribute to the cost, but she also says you got millionaires and billionaires plus in there. Why should the local taxpayer, why should the local police officer be tasked with protecting these people? Can't they hire their own private security, which they have, but they also have the local police department out there as well helping them. And also we showed you those videos last night, how they put up the giant fences and all that stuff wrapping around. And that's to the taxpayer there in the local area. And, you know, she says, the mayor says, why should we have to pay for this? And she has a very good point. And for more on that, we're showing you these week-long clips we started yesterday, and we'll be showing you for the rest of the week. John Bound is giving you the history of Bilderberg, and this one he's talking about their agenda.
Welcome to Bilderberg Exposed, Evolution by Stealth.
Tonight we will examine the influence of the Council of Foreign Relations on the Bilderberg Group and document the objectives of the Masters of World Domination.
In order to fundamentally understand Bilderberg, we must look at the origin and influence of the CFR. The Council on Foreign Relations was founded after World War I, when Woodrow Wilson tasked his advisor Edward House to create a fellowship of 150 scholars to formulate a new foreign policy strategy. From the very beginning, the CFR was committed to a one-world government based on a centralized global financial system. A global Congress would need to be assembled. So by invitation only, leaders of the world in industry, politics, media, and royalty were brought in to discuss in extreme secrecy planning related to global domination by the selected elite. The objectives of the Bilderberg Group include one set of universal values, control of world public opinion by mind control, an end to the middle class, only rulers and servants, a zero-growth society, order out of chaos and perpetual wars, total control of education to program the public mind as a servant class, centralized control of all foreign and domestic policies, impose a UN tax on world citizens, expanding NAFTA and the World Trade Organization globally, and expansion of NATO as a world military. In the 1960s, the attendees included Prince Philip, Paul-Henri Spaak, former Secretary General of NATO, former Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada, former Secretary of the new Department of Economic Affairs, Eric Rohl, former President Gerald Ford, former U.S. Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, Christian Herter, and Special Assistant to the President, Charles Douglas Jackson. The final names are especially important, as they boldly violated the Logan Act, a U.S. federal law that forbids unauthorized citizens from negotiating with foreign governments. Violation of the Logan Act is a felony, punishable under federal law with imprisonment of up to 3 years. For more information regarding Bilderberg, please visit InfoWarsStore.com and pick up Daniel Estulin's excellent work, The Octopus Deception. Please join us tomorrow when we examine how the Bilderberg Group manufactured the United States presidents in the 1970s and how these commanders-in-chief conspired with foreign entities illegally to forward the goals of a new world order as the elitist Bilderberg agenda evolves by stealth. This is John Bowne with the InfoWars Nightly News.
And that does it for the first section of our news. That's the Bilderberg portion. We'll be back with the rest of the news after this break. But before we do that, go to InfoWars.com/B. That's B as in Bilderberg. And you can get all the live feeds and the news coverage. I believe if you're watching this in Central Texas time, like we are here in Austin, Alex is going to start his live streaming, I believe, at 3 a.m. our time. So definitely be aware of that. But also check out the Bilderberg sale. That's on the ProPure, 15% off. Now, you know, supplies are limited. So definitely be sure that you take advantage of that because that will go very fast. But also, like I said, I believe Alex will start his live streams at 3 a.m. our time. So if you're watching this on YouTube or whatever, you have to adjust your times accordingly. Of course, you can go to prisonplanet.tv, also infowars.com/B. So we'll be back right after this break with more news.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
And welcome back. Now, we'll start with a story I had a chance to talk about a little bit earlier today with David Knight on the Alex Jones Radio Show headline, "The Wi-Fi in your home can track your moves like Xbox Kinect."
Any wireless devices in the home, like a phone or laptop, could be used as a signal source. WiC could then enable a number of exciting applications. For instance, a user could control the music with a simple gesture. Other devices could be controlled across the room.
And, you know, as I said on the Alex Jones Radio Show with David Knight, I definitely see how these things could be helpful. That's a really cool graphic. I don't know who made that. I see how these things could be helpful to people who have disabilities and so forth. But you got to keep in mind, you know, the larger aspect of this stuff. Like, as I said earlier, you know, these things can be able to track not only the movements in your home, but the number of people in your home. And I gave the example, if you live in an apartment like I do, you know, you probably have some neighbors who got more than a few people who probably aren't on their lease living in that apartment. So, you know, the next time the leasing agent or whoever wants to come by, you know, all they have to do is check your recent utility bill and say, hey, you've had about 10 people living in this apartment. How do you know that? Because I've been checking on your Xbox Kinect. I've been checking on your local Wi-Fi system. As the guy said in the video, all you need is just a basic Wi-Fi connection. They can even pull feeds off of laptops and things like smartphones. So I definitely would be aware of things like that, because I'm done with Xbox. You know, I play a game every now and then, but I'm not doing all the Xbox Kinect and PlayStation and Nintendo getting on that stuff. I'm done with that, too. We'll move on now to some other news. EPA accused of singling out conservative groups amid IRS scandal. So we're not even done with the IRS scandal, and we already have, you know, another agency allegedly in on the activities. The allegations concern the Environmental Protection Agency, which is being accused of trying to charge conservative groups fees while largely exempting liberal groups. The fees apply to the Freedom of Information Act request. Allegedly, the EPA waived them for liberal groups far more than they did conservative ones. The allegations are under investigation by the House Energy and Commerce Committee and the House Oversight Committee and Government Reform Committee. So it's just more of what we've been seeing. You know, the IRS, everybody either quit, retired, moved to a different position, or just invoked their Fifth Amendment. And now we see the EPA allegedly doing some similar actions. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And this is just a day after we reported on how the AP said that they were discriminated against or asked to pay $1 million to the Labor Department for a FOIA request. You know, we're going to charge you $1 million just to get some documents. Like I said, that's like charging, being charged a fee by a librarian for helping you find a book. But I guess it made sense to them. But then I believe the Labor Department said, oh, we're sorry that we actually said that, but we would have took your money if you gave it to us. Now we'll move on to this. Are you Bradley Manning? High-profile Americans take YouTube to back Noble petition. Now, in this video, you'll see many famous Americans showing their support for Mr. Manning. Manning, 25, could spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted of aiding and abetting the enemy by leaking military cables to WikiLeaks. U.S. military prosecutors have asserted that Manning put his own agenda above national security, and that by releasing cables, most notably the murder video depicting an American helicopter opening fire on civilians, he jeopardized Americans in the field of battle. Now, I'm sure there was some very sensitive information leaked by Mr. Manning, and he has admitted some wrongdoing, and, you know, I accept that. You know, he admits that, hey, I did some stuff wrong, I released some information I should have, but that one video in particular, if you're not familiar with that, you can go type in on YouTube, helicopter shoots cameraman, or, you know, whatever it was. I think that's it right there. So, and what this is, a helicopter opens fire on a group of gentlemen. You know, they have cameras and so forth. And then a man pulls up in a minivan, if I'm thinking of the same clip, a man pulls up in a minivan with his children in the car, in the helicopter opens fire on the man's van with the children inside, and you can hear one of the soldiers in the helicopter say, well, he shouldn't have brought his kids to a war zone. The guy lives in a war zone. I'm pretty sure if he could go someplace else, he would. It's not like me in Austin. If I don't like Austin, I can move to San Antonio, you know, an hour down I-35. Like, that's how they live, man. That's what they do. And, I mean, I'm saying they don't, you know, get shot up for a living. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's where they live. There's nothing else they can do about their situation. But you have these very arrogant, very cocky guys up in the helicopter shooting down at unarmed civilians, children, and saying you shouldn't have brought your children out here. But meanwhile, the Bradley Manning trial is still ongoing. I believe it was RT, or many other people have talked about it, but I believe the article was on RT when I was looking at it. They were talking about how very few people are still covering it, because I believe it started on Monday, and there's a big hoopla, and there's a lot of media and other people out there. And they say now, if you go there now, there's pretty much nobody out there other than the essential people just to run the trial. So definitely keep Bradley Manning in your thoughts and prayers. Even if you think the guy is guilty of sin, you know, he's a whistleblower. He is trying to expose some things that did not need to be going on. You know, I'm sure there's other sensitive information out there as well. But I think a life sentence for trying to expose what I view as war crimes, at least that particular instance, is more than a little stiff. Now we'll move on now to our quote of the day, the end of our broadcast, at least for our news segment. This by Prince Bernhard. It is difficult to re-educate people who have been brought up on nationalism to the idea of relinquishing part of their sovereignty to a supranational body. That by Prince Bernhard, a founding member of the Bilderberg Group. And that's going to do it for the end of our news portion. But stay tuned, because after this break, Rob Dew is going to be interviewing some people from Operation Paul Revere. We have H.D. Stone and also Elena Macias. They had a great film that they submitted. Now, I want to, you know, bring this up again. Can't press this enough. And when you see people on the show talking about their films, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily, they're definitely not the winner at this point, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be one of the finalists. These are just some of the better films that we thought to show you and to encourage people, you know, hey, these are the kind of films that you can make on a shoestring budget. So stay tuned for that. But before we go to break, remember Infowars.com/BB as in Bilderberg. It'll keep you up to date with the Twitters, with the live feeds. Like I said, I believe Alex is going to start 3 a.m. Texas time. So stay tuned for that. If you're an early bird or if you're in a different part of the world, be sure to check that out. And also the ProPure sale, the Bilderberg sale, the 15% off. Now, that's a lot of stuff, but don't forget, you can always stop by PrisonPlanet.tv as well and get your feeds on there. Yeah, the Infowars.com, Nightly News, also the Alex Jones Radio Show, the Special Reports, and all that will be right there as well. So stay tuned for Rob Dew after this break.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens, because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. That's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers. The Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. We will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
And welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thanks to Jakari Jackson for sitting in and doing the news portion earlier. He was pulling double duty today. He also did at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of overdrive on the Alex Jones Show, where they're doing continuous coverage of Bilderberg. And you can find out all the information on that at Infowars.com/B or /Bilderberg. There's the amazing graphic right there. All the videos that they've been uploading to the Ustream, the YouTube, everything, the articles, it's all right there. And they haven't even started the conference yet. People haven't even started arriving. And already Alex is in there making news, getting kicked out of places to eat because he's, you know, for non-political reasons, of course. He's being harassed by BBC reporters. I mean, it's all there. And now we're going to go to our interview portion. But before we go to this interview, I want to play a excerpt from this film here. This is the Freedom Diaries. And this is one of our Paul Revere contest entries. Yes, we're still in the process of judging the Paul Revere contest entries. And this is one that I think is definitely going to make it into the finals. Very high quality production. I think it's a great story. Very well done, and unlike anything else that we have received, it's a dramatization via video diary. Starts off a little bit in the past in 2012 and goes on into the future. So we're going to play a little section of that, and then we're going to have two of the filmmakers here via Skype talking about it. So here is an excerpt from the Freedom Diaries.
Flu shots are mandatory.
But what if you don't want to get the shot? Can you be forced to get one anyway?
We've been instructed to come to a camp and receive a vaccine since the Affordable Care Act was passed. It doesn't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter what you like.
There's been an alarming number of serious adverse reactions and even deaths that some say are linked to the vaccine.
What's even more disturbing is that this vaccine has not been adequately tested.
The Federal Republic Army bombed the Keystone Pipeline today. They said the people didn't want it, and they were going to do something about it, and they did it. They blew that baby up.
The Pegasus Pipeline ruptured in a housing development near the town of Mayflower on Friday, spewing oil
in the North Woods subdivision in Mayflower are being told to leave after a petroleum line sprung a leak.
But of course, now we have martial law for 2 weeks, but who knows? Everybody's already going crazy and looting. You know, people are kicking in each other's doors and stealing food and water already. But you know what? Things are changing. We're not going to just lay down and take it. Since my last entry, the country's become divided at war.
That details how DHS has been training state and local law enforcement to prepare for and successfully mitigate threats involving civil disorder should a national special security event occur.
FEMA is federalizing police for domestic war.
What did they think would happen? They took away our freedoms one after another.
Coming towards us.
So needs to move back around the corner, and you move down.
Close your window.
The Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows indefinite detention of American citizens. All this at a time when economic conditions and mass demonstrations sweep through the country and threaten potential unrest.
I need to just be worried about Ann and Matt right now. I need to keep us safe. The other day, Matt told me he was scared. Today, he asked me if I was afraid. I told him no. I'm not afraid. But the truth is, I'm not afraid for me, but I am afraid for my family.
Does the administration not see at all how a president asserting that he has the right to kill an American citizen is troublesome to some people?
This is the Department of Homeland Security.
What in the world is going on?
Or in possession of an unregistered firearm.
Oh, not Daryl.
The house closing with your hands above your head.
Basically, your job duties are to put people in prison camps. There it is.
Allowing police to confiscate guns.
Martial law has been lifted. I mean, not everything's back to normal. It's now called a curfew law. We can be out 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is the only time we can move around. Second part. Anyone found outside of the hours is put into a citizens' reformatory camp. Come here, boy. In other news, Ann and myself have decided to paint the living room. Arizona prickly pear. I think it looks like green.
I think it looks like boogers.
When government seeks to kill one of its citizens, it is a huge deal.
Intentionally target a specific American.
Military force against American citizens on U.S. soil.
It's all there. All the government documents, all the government admissions, a civilian inmate labor camp program run by the Army, where they're at.
I thought I was going to be late getting home after curfew. I had to stop and get a razor. You never know. These things have become so, like, hard to find. I just wanted to clean up because I've been feeling kind of... Oh, it's Annie. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, where are you at?
I don't have a lot of time. The tire went out all of a sudden.
What? I can't understand you.
I don't have time. It's 15 minutes to curfew.
Where are you?
It's 15 and 3 and we're trying to make it back.
Well, we you still got time. I mean, it's not that far.
I don't think it won't go. It's too flat.
Hello, what's wrong with the tire? Hold on, I'm gonna leave now and I'm gonna come get you. It's gonna be 6 real fast.
They're here. Homeland Security pulled up behind us.
What? Just leave. Drive on the flat.
I have to go.
Annie, don't get out of the car.
I love you, Philip.
Don't let them take you.
So you were just watching an excerpt from the Freedom Diaries. This is one of our Operation Paul Revere contest entries. And this is from a filmmaker, H.D. Stone, out of Austin, Texas. And we're going to talk with him in just one second. But I thought it was interesting the way he and his crew were able to take real-life events that were going on, that have been going on, say, in the last 2-3 years, and meld them together with a future apocalyptic event. We actually ended... August 13th, 2015 is where we ended. And, the character's name is Philip Stevens. His wife, Ann, and son, Matt, were, taken by Homeland Security. Actually, that was when they were missing for 16 months. They were taken on February 10th, 2015. I got a whole timeline here of the pieces. And the way it starts off, you've got that character there who finds this laptop and plugs it in, and you have to watch the rest of the story. But we turn now to the filmmakers. We have the team here, the production team of H.D. Stone and Alana Macias. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Very good.
Thanks for having us on.
Hey, no problem. I think this piece was great. And just for, you know, proper disclosure and everything, I've known H.D. for a few years. We've worked on a few projects together. And I don't know if I encourage you to do it, but I did tell you about the contest when it happened, right? We were talking about other video related things, and I think I mentioned it to you. And then now we have the Freedom Diaries, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell us about, you know, the synopsis of it. You have that great opening shot that with the guy with the gas mask who's kind of walking through the wasteland. He finds the magic laptop that's been buried. But take it from there and tell us the synopsis of the piece.
Sure. I'm just going to give you a short synopsis. The movie is, it's a lot of questions about what if, and kind of taking it from there. And, you know, what if a lot of the things that we hear about were taken to their full conclusion. And that was something that we were interested in kind of following, because there's a lot of theorizing about what could happen. But we thought, well, what if we just kind of show where it could be taken? So we incorporate a lot of stuff. HD had incorporated a lot of stuff that he has seen in the news and that's happening right now. And then we kind of extrapolate that from there.
Yeah, and I like the way you started off with, you know, the soft kill stuff. That was going on back in 2012. You're talking about the soft kill, the drone assassination program.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it moves into CISPA, gun confiscation, gun buybacks. Then it goes, you know, 9/11 of this year, according to your timeline, forced vaccinations at FEMA camps.
Yeah.
And it keeps going and going. And then there's terrorist attacks on pipelines, and then there's neighborhood lockdowns. And then you actually have a neighbor at one point get, taken away in the video. So, you know, what was it like putting all this together and kind of visualizing this new, this new world that you created?
For me, it was about trying to open up people and awaken people without shoving it down their throat or yelling and screaming at them about it. You know, I'm pretty, a lot of the movie has to do with a lot of like how I am in real life. I do rant and rave and talk at parties and get people all. So I wanted to come up with a way that would utilize a story and characters that would then be able to mold and get people to kind of maybe just like see something different, a different reality, you know, try to open up their eyes in a different way.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And sometimes doing something in the form of a story, you know, like The Matrix woke a lot of people up. To that reality, you know, you're not really inside a computer, but you are inside a computer. The way we're all programmed and this mass hive thing with the internet that has taken place, people are literally, you know, plugged in with their phones or plugged in with their laptops, you know, every which way. So now it looks like the future, there's not as much electricity. You've got your guy using a crank generator to boost electricity. So it's not a future that any of us want to see. You know, you're having to scrounge around for razors. You know, people are getting, you know, their homes are getting busted down by troops and taken away for just having, you know, firearms.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a future that I think we could see. But, you know, go through your process of just how did you decide the certain thing that you wanted to cover, like your order of covering things? How did you build it up? Like, what was your thought process there?
Mainly I just wanted to, when I started thinking about the film, was about, I'd say about 6 to 8 weeks before the deadline. And, I sat down and, we started like just running through what are the main topics? What are things that we would want to bring to people's attention? You know, what are some things that we'd want to point out? And, you know, then we get into fluoride and aspartame and drone strikes on U.S. soil against U.S. citizens. We go into chemtrails a little bit, gun confiscation, you know, and really all those things are happening right now in front of us. They're happening all around us right now. And it seems like people just don't pick up on it. So I think a lot of that process also is like a lot of these things could become catchphrases or things that we just hear all the time. They're kind of theoretical ideas. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, my background is as a writer. I mean, that's what I've got my master's in. And one of the big things that we always studied was like, it's one thing to hear about something theoretically, and it's another thing to dramatize it. You know, you want to make it something that is, drama is not the same as talking about. And so we were trying to figure out, well, what are the ways in which these things can be real and something that people can relate to, beyond just words. And that's kind of that's the trick of really telling a story, you know, mm-hmm. how do you make people connect to it on a personal level?
Right.
And you do that by getting a flat tire after curfew,
right
before curfew, and getting arrested by Department of Homeland Security for no reason.
Exactly. Just being out after curfew, right, which is an arbitrary thing anyway.
Exactly. And to me, that makes me, as a viewer, when I watch it, I go, oh, wow, that could happen to that family. That could happen to me or anyone else. And it gets people to start thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Whose idea was it to make it based on this video diary?
No, that was mine.
That was yours? Yeah. I think that's a great way to tell a story, a long linear story. You had a long timeline, several years, in fact, okay. And you were able to do that with one set with, you know, changing the background, which I don't know if people notice that, but if you go back and watch it, you can see the background changes periodically.
Yeah, every
starts
scene.
Off with, yeah, with pictures and looking all nice, and slowly there's prepping equipment and then flags, and then, you know, and then it looks like a total mess towards the end. I mean, the background is almost a character in itself. You could just see, you know, where it's going. You hear that da 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 da, and then by the end, you know, the volcano's erupting.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's that we built it up, you know. Alana's really good at telling stories, and I'm really good with coming up with them. So I come up with them, and she's able to then, like, write the dialogue and kind of help me out with the timelines on stuff. And one of the things that I liked to about this film the most was that a lot of people don't know is that we filmed this in approximately 6 days, and we filmed it backwards. So we started with the last scenes because I let my hair grow out and I grew a beard and I looked really shaggy, and then we filmed that. And then as we went back every day, like one day I got my hair cut twice and my beard shaved twice.
Wow. All right.
It was total guerrilla filmmaking. It was so fast. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, and that just shows that, you know, a story and a really good concept. You guys had it well polished. You had it well thought out of, and, you know, the editing's really good. And I think the editing helps tell the story with all the little cuts and the video distortion and stuff that's going on there. That's almost another, you know, kind of character in itself. It's kind of showing the urgency of it and how you're not really getting every single bit of it. You're just getting those blips of information that fly past you.
Right.
You know, you guys did a really good job. I think you told, you know, an hour and a half story in 20 minutes, essentially, which is, you know, really a good thing to do. It's always less is more, I think.
Yeah, there's three stories going on. There's the story about the apocalyptic guy.
Yeah.
There's a story directly with the character Philip and his video diary. And then with all of what we call the snap, crackle, and popping in between, with all that, you have the story of the family. You have the story and the story of what's going on in the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How the media plays everything out, and they kind of tell. I just like the way, you know, you show the forced vaccination clip, and then you go to you talking about, oh, now we got to go get forced vaccinations at FEMA camps, and that is a reality that I don't think is too far, you know, down the road. If you know, we always see these little giblets of news of like, oh, five people were killed by this disease, and we don't know what it is, and it was in China. Well, now it's in America, and two people have died from it. You know, but what they don't say is 200,000 people a year die at hospitals, you know.
Right.
How many people die from prescription medications being, you know, misdiagnosed or misprescribed or misused? You know, they don't ever go into that stuff. It's one little guy here dies from a pandemic. So, or we call it a pandemic if like 20 people die from it. So now everybody's got to get a flu vaccination or this or SARS or whatever, you know. I remember in the 90s, it was SARS and monkeypox and the West Nile virus. And these things never came and got us. It was just hype.
Yeah, it was. It was just hype. It's just fear, you know? It's just fear. And I just encourage the viewers to watch this film and know that at the end, there is hope. We didn't leave the film ending on a bad note. We left, there is hope.
Exactly. And then there is the guy, which turns out... I guess not. We don't want to get it, but it's good. It's really good. And you have to watch it to really get, everything that goes on it. And there's a lot of information condensed into it. And I think it's a good calling card for your group, Blue Zero Media, which, you guys are at BlueZeroMedia.com. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Correct.
And what are you guys working on now?
Actually, we're working on a bunch of, we have quite a few projects in the works.
We take the Lazy Susan approach to working.
You just turn the table and see what comes.
We always have all these things that we're working on, a little bit here, a little bit there.
We usually have two or three projects in either pre-production, production, or post all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Right now we're doing we just did a music video for a piece that I perform.
Yeah.
And that's what we posted today.
Yeah.
So we've been busy.
Oh, cool. What's that about?
Well, I'm from Nicaragua. Well, my father's Nicaragua and my mother is from Minnesota. She was Irish American. And so, they were really involved with the revolution in Nicaragua, and people fall on two camps with that thing. I don't really take a stance because I kind of know when you're in a country that small, you know people on every side.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a lot to do with, imperialism and the conflict in Nicaragua. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
CIA manipulation of the Nicaraguan government.
Oh, why would we do that? Is it for drugs?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty interesting subject. I think that's one thing we don't touch upon a lot in America is our history in South America and in Central America, especially in, you know, even in Panama. The Panama War was something that was, you know, we killed almost 4,000 people, and some of them, they don't even know. Some people don't even know how many people we killed because they just took the bodies and buried them or dumped them in the ocean.
I don't know in general. I mean, when I say Nicaragua, people are like, oh, we haven't had anything to do with them. And I just think, how can you say that?
Only for 150 years, you know.
Yes, but most people don't even know where it is. Or that people have asked me, what language do you speak there? Which is amazing. I mean, your country is very involved with politics there.
We seem to be more concerned with what goes on in Russia than we do, you know, what goes on with our neighbors in South America and Central America.
Yeah, there is a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. So,
yeah. Well, that's good. That's
the name
good.
Of that project, just so you know, the name of that project is called Zero Libertad.
Yeah, and I think that's the second on your list on your when you go to your website, Blue Zero Media. It's the second one down. And we were watching that earlier too. That's got some more of that editing that you guys like to do. Who was your editor on these pieces?
Her name's Justine Spinoza, and she is a greatly valued part and puzzle and gear to our production company.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
Yeah, she's very, very talented, and you guys did a great job on this. And I mean, to me, it looks like, you know, you've got the outline of a really interesting kind of, you know, 5-minute video web series, with your Freedom Diaries.
We've been approached about it already, Rob.
Yeah.
We've had people ask us already, are we going to come out with another short part two that shows like him in the apocalyptic era? Are we going to go ahead and we should make this a web series and do, you know, 5 to 10 minute little series every month or every week? Like, yeah, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from this. A lot of people are excited about it because like it is, it's a great story. It grips you. It holds your attention.
And you use the product placement, I might add, very efficiently. It wasn't like in your face. Oh, wait, it was in your face. Yeah, we're looking at it now. The mug's right there as you're checking. Is this thing on? No, it was good. That was good.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, the character, if you kind of watch too, the character develops, which was hard to do because we filmed it backwards, but the character actually develops from being somebody who's not very tech savvy to savvy till the end where he's just like click, click doing it and talking to the screen. If you notice in the beginning, he doesn't exactly look at the screen because he's uncomfortable, but at the end, he's like, right in it.
Yeah. I'm telling you what's up. This is it. You know, that's a great end scene. I encourage people to go watch it. It's on Vimeo. If you do a search for Operation Paul Revere, Infowars.com contest, Freedom Diaries. I think if you just look, Freedom Diaries on there, you'll find the, YouTube version and the Vimeo version.
Yeah. And if you just type in Blue Zero Media.
Yeah.
In Vimeo, you'll go right to our channel.
Yeah, that's your channel on Vimeo's Blue Zero Media, or you can just go to BlueZeroMedia.com. We're going to post probably the YouTube version on, see if we can get some more views to that one. Because with the contest, you had to post to two different ones, and I know most people like Vimeo because of the quality aspect.
Absolutely.
And you were telling me that earlier. I mean, you think the quality is just leagues better on Vimeo than it is on YouTube.
Yeah, when I uploaded the Zero Libertad video just last night, it was the exact same master copy, and the YouTube looked like it was about 480, and the Vimeo looked like 1080.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a difference, and that's, you know, a lot of the filmmaker friends that I know out there, they only want to have their stuff seen on Vimeo. And when you try to ask, where's the YouTube of it? So I can pass, they're like, oh, no. Don't pass up the YouTube.
You put so much work into formulating these images, you know, and so you really want to, like, display them in the best way that you can.
Right.
Another reason we do that. But I wanted to kind of go back to, I think that there's, like, a theme that we've got going in a lot of our work. And I think that we were talking about in like he says, he starts out being uncomfortable with technology and he ends up being very comfortable with technology. And I think that goes back to a kind of our abiding belief in like the power of the individual. We're both very big believers in the power of the individual. And I think all of our work indirectly kind of speaks to that. That's a story we like to tell over and over again. And if I say nothing else about Freedom Diaries, I want to say that I think it's about the power of consciousness and the individual.
Yes. One guy uploading a message for millions and billions to see, you know, after the transition, as you guys call it, the transition from, you know, the society we live in now to a society where, you know, the bad guys have won and they've taken over and everybody else is kind of ferreting around just trying to find their little hole until the storm blows over. But it was definitely a dark world that we saw in Freedom Diaries. But good job on that. Hopefully it wakes a lot of people up. We're going to post it on InfoWars.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to do like a part two. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got the set already done. You just got to tear it down some more, spray paint it or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, good job. Thanks for coming in and talking to us on via Skype on the InfoWars Nightly News, and we salute you.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you very
much.
Right.
And that was H.D. Stone and Alana Macias, the production team behind BlueZeroMedia.com, who put together, at a pretty short amount of time, the Freedom Diaries. I think it's a great video. I think a lot more people need to see it. It's not quite getting the views. I'm not sure if it slipped through some of our postings or not when we were posting videos for the Paul Revere contest, but we did get a lot of entries, especially at the end. It was quite a rush to the finish, to say the least. But that is definitely a little gold nugget there, I believe. And I know HD, I've known him for a few years, and he's always putting together interesting projects, and he's always sending me stuff that he's made. And I remember he sent me one video. I said, hey, this is really good. You know, you got a good team. Have you heard of our contest? And he's like, what contest? I forwarded him the link, and boom, he calls me back in about a month saying, hey, we're working on something. It's coming together really well. You know, I can't wait to show it to you. And he sent me the poster, and I'm like, oh, man, this looks awesome. And then when I finally saw it in late April, I was blown away. I really thought he did a good job, him and Alana, and the rest of the team. His editor, Justine, also, I think she did a great job on the editing. And that's really where you see, you know, a 3-4-person team can really come together and make something that has lasting impact and that can really wake up minds, you know, for years to come, pretty much. I think it's great. So with that, that's going to be the end of the nightly news tonight. Thanks to Jakari Jackson for doing the news portion. If you are watching this on YouTube or Vimeo or Justin TV or Ustream or wherever else you are seeing this on one of the video server mounted programs out there, check us out at prisonplanet.tv. It's our subscription service and it allows us to bring you all the things we do. It allows us to send reporters to England to cover Bilderberg. You know, Alex to send out reporters in all over the country to cover these events. We're even having affiliates where we're having people shoot reports and interviews and send them to us, and then we edit them up here. And we really are building a 21st century high-tech news community that isn't subjugated by mainstream media and drug companies and corporate bomb builders like GE. You know, it really is built for the people to give you the information that we think is important. And also, you know, people send us information that they think is important and should be covered. And so we got some big things on the horizon. We're building this new set, which is going to be totally amazing. I can't wait to see it in action and to show it to you guys. And eventually, you know, the plan will be to broadcast the Alex Jones Show out of there, in addition to doing other big news programs and specials. You know, when we had the presidential election, we were up here from, I think we started from 5 p.m. and went to 1 a.m. And we were in both studios going back and forth, showing videos, talking to each other. I mean, we're really trying to push it to the limit. So we do need your help at prisonplanet.tv. Join up. It's a 15-day free trial. It's only $5.95 a month. And you can share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time, can be accessing the system on one username and password. So if nothing else, get one and spread it around to your friends, and hopefully they'll buy one and spread it around to their friends, and we'll just keep growing this 21st century news agency and put out that news. You know, day one, we were calling the Boston bombing look like an inside job, look fishy. And, you know, now we got the FBI, you know, guys are getting thrown out of helicopters. They ended up dead who were on the case. We have a guy who was connected to one of the brothers being questioned by police, unarmed, shot 7 times. Something's going on. Yeah, and you could tell when the FBI has a press conference and they show pictures of 2 people, one of which they've been investigating for over 2 years, saying they don't know who these guys are. Okay, once you look at that lie, everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. They said they didn't have any prior knowledge. Why were they running drills? Oh, we don't want to talk about the drills. It goes on and on and on. So be sure and check out PrisonPlanet.tv for all the Alex Jones Show, the nightly news, the special reports, the movies, the rants, the ebooks, everything you need that we've produced in this studio and in studios before is all there, waiting for you to unleash it upon the world. And with that, that is the end of the InfoWars Nightly News on this Wednesday, June 5th, 2013 edition. Once again, thanks to Jakari Jackson for doing the news portion. I'll be back here tomorrow night doing the full show, and hopefully I will have an amazing interview with somebody who contacted me. I mean, this is, I think it's going to validate a lot of the stuff Alex has been saying for years concerning the Telecommunications Act back in the 90s and the EMS takeover service and basically this giant hub that the when Alex says the telephone companies don't need to hack the NSA, they are the NSA. I think we're going to shed some big light on that tomorrow. I can't wait. And because this is the information that needs to be out there. There's no reason it shouldn't be out there. There's no reason you shouldn't see it, but you shouldn't be able to tell your friends and family about it. So with that, we will see you tomorrow.